Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter. You have some words of significance to say to us there. Chapter 2, if you will. All that bragging about Augusta, almost that thing about Tennessee, it speaks for itself. First Peter chapter 2, look at the last statement there in chapter 1. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. I wanted to read that because the first word in chapter 2 is therefore, and those of us who remember A.T. Gibbs would know that he says when you see therefore, stop and see what's therefore. So it's referring back to the many things that Peter declared in chapter 1, including the gospel. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure or sincere milk of the word, I'm reading from the New King James, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. May the Lord bless these thoughts. Shall we pray? Father, we were just saying, revive us, O God. And as we consider this morning the preciousness of the Lord Jesus, may each one of us be spoken to by your Spirit who alone can bring revival. May we say it has been good to be in your presence this morning. To again appreciate the preciousness of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Do everything we ask in his worthy name. Amen. And to you who believe, the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. Peter seemed to like this word precious. He used it quite a few times. Out of 17 times it's used in the New Testament, Peter used it 7 times in the King James rendering. And precious is described in the dictionary as something that is of great value, something we hold in high esteem, something that is dear or costly. And if I had the time to go to each one of us and say, what's really precious to you? I'm sure we would all start off with the things of God, the Lord Jesus, our salvation, our promised home in heaven, eternal life, and the Word of God. I was reading the other day about the F.W. Grant, who incidentally died on his 68th birthday. He was propped up in a chair beside his bed with the open Bible before him. And he's quoted as saying, oh, the book, the book, the book. No doubt the book was precious to him. It was said of him that his life was to make Christ more precious. The Word of God, more love. So I want to just, for these 2 mornings that they've extended to me, think about the preciousness of the Lord Jesus and allow each one of us to do a little inspection of our own lives. How precious is he? Is he to us? Those of you who have gone through the valley of the shadow of death with loved ones, as my wife and I have gone through, it makes your spouse become more precious. Our homes are precious. Our health is precious. Our ministries are precious to us. God called us to a service. But the bottom line is, how precious is the Lord Jesus? I can remember being a student at the Methodist Bible College back in the 49-50 year, and hearing men like George Landis, Harold Hopper, Charlie Van Ryan, and they impressed upon us the value of that daily communion with God, being intimate with the infinite one. Well, how precious is it this morning? How real is it? How much do you commune with him? You notice in the passage we read, God the Son is precious to God the Father. And maybe just think of for just a few moments about why the Son is so precious to the Father. Well, first of all, he's the only begotten, John 3:16. He's the unique one. No like him. But as I was reflecting on this, that they shared eternity together. Think about that. There had never been a time when the persons of the Godhead were separated. But then God the Son was willing to leave heaven and come to earth. He was willing to step out of eternity into time. He was willing to leave glory and become a man. He was willing to not only become man, but so sinless, to become the sin bearer. He was willing to identify with the likes of us. Paul says, "And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself." That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. For he hath made him, God the Father, made God the Son to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In the words of Isaiah, we read, "Who shall ascend and who shall go for me?" Jesus is him, I send me. He was a volunteer, willing to take the place necessary that you and I might be redeemed. God the Son, precious to God the Father. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty this morning. How precious is he to us? I don't know about you, but I can very readily remember a time when he was not precious to me. I was raised in a religious home, a church all my life, but when I was in the Navy, World War II, I met some men who were different. They didn't talk about religion, they didn't talk about church, they talked about the Lord Jesus. I avoided those guys. Because the Lord Jesus and the words of Isaiah, he had no loveliness. When we fear, there was no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. I was wondering when he says, in our eyes there was no attractiveness at all. Nothing to make us want him. We turned our back on him and looked the other way. The man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. These fellows were so in my face, I guess we'd say today, with the gospel. But when a draft came up for a group of us corpsmen to go to Korea, I volunteered to get away from that bunch of fanatics. But there was a night when another sailor came to me. "Do you really know the Lord Jesus as your Savior?" I admit it, I didn't. He loved me in Christ. I heard him on one occasion. He and I were together in the barracks, and for those who have been in the military, you know how purple the air can become with profanity. Bad enough to take God's name in vain, but at least for the part of the Navy I was in, we're very capable of taking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and using it verbally in a horrible way. Yes, the fellow who led me to Christ said one night, he said, "Would to God that for 5 minutes I was not a Christian, I'd tear him apart." But I guess during that 5 minutes I wouldn't care, would I? So I can truly know him personally, intimately. There's no beauty in him that we should desire him. When we hear certain names, an image comes to mind. We hear the name of Hitler. We begin to think about the gas chambers thing. The persecution and the horror, the hatred. We hear a name like Lindbergh and we think about the spirit of St. Louis. Babe Ruth, Billy Sunday, all these things bring certain images to our mind. I hate to admit it, but even the IRS. I hope that's not even here. But the way to think about it, when we hear the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, does it trigger? Does it excite us? That we have certain religious stories in your mind about him? When we call him Lord, we recognize him as the ruler of authority. We recognize him as the monarch, the chief of all the potent place. So it's Jesus that's making me that he's the Savior. That's why I call his name Jesus. He's the Savior of people from this earth. Christ, the anointed one. The one that was brought into this world that we might have life.
Captain Howard on one occasion was challenged by a Mohammedan nobleman. He was reciting his rosary with the 99 words of Allah. Captain Howard sat down with his Bible and came up with a list of some 200 names. You know, just to say Jesus, that doesn't communicate everything to us about the person of the Lord Jesus, does it? Great as it is. And it was William James Bryan that insisted that Mr. Howard compile these names. 200 names given of the Lord Jesus. Certainly we don't have the time this weekend, this week rather, to compare those names. But the very mention of those names should just love to us. First John chapter 4 tells us that not only does he love, but he is love. He's eternal, Michael tells us. He's the first one Paul mentions, as well as others. We read in 2 Corinthians that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. He had a rich God. And yet he was willing to bankrupt himself. Well, as we think about the attributes of God, there's one that I don't often hear mentioned. He's a generous God. I think if there's anything that's contradictory, anything that's incongruous, it's a stingy Christian. After all that he has bestowed upon us, all the riches of eternity, he's a forgiving God. He was a miracle worker. He was a teacher. And thank God he is immutable. Even though he's love and grace and mercy, if he can change, we'd be in trouble. And all of these things suggest to us who he is, the Lord Jesus Christ. We, of course, could amplify that. Every one of you could. So let's get back to that verse of scripture. For Peter says to us, who believe. And I trust we're all believers here. And if so, then he is precious. On one occasion, he said to John down by the seashore, John, do you love me? 3 times. Can you imagine if he were here this morning in a visible form, and he looked back and called you by name? I said, come up here. Do you love me? Well, that's, you know, all things. You know I love, but are you, am I precious to you? Am I valuable? Am I held in high esteem? Am I really dear to you? Imagine that should have been a little embarrassing to Peter, don't you, to be called out in front of all of us. And yet what a privilege it was to be able to say, yes, God, you know I'm telling the truth. And John, Peter rather, in John's gospel might have said, Lord, you know I don't live like I should. Well, and to us who believe, the Lord Jesus is precious. I'd like to close this morning by saying, not saying, I wish I could, the words of Phil Kerr. I found a Savior. He loves me so. Jesus, who died for me, bears all my burdens, sorrows, and woes, loving and kind as he. Daily he's with me, close by my side, whispering sweet words of peace. Deep in my soul, he's there to abide. His love will never cease. So he's coming back for his bride from that far golden shore. In that bright city we shall abide with him forevermore. And then, of course, I'm in love. Deeply in love with the lover of my soul. I will sing praise to my King while the years of eternity roll. His love is in my heart, never to depart. His blood has made me whole. I'm in love with Jesus. He's the lover of my soul. And to us who believe, he is precious.
Good morning. What have been saying? Reminded me of stories my dad used to tell about when they had horses that pulled the fire engine. He said when that bell would ring, the horses would jump up and could hardly wait to go. Well, that's the way I felt while I was singing. Whew! That was really great. Turn to 1 Peter again. We're going to look at that same portion of Scripture. Trust the Lord to speak to our hearts through it this morning. As Dick was pointing out, we have learned all these things, and if you're like I am, you saw that some areas that you need to go home and try to strengthen or refurbish or alter. But beloved, unless we stay in that intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus, it won't happen. I tell the folks at home, I come to the Southeastern Workers Conference every year to get my battery charged. But unless we keep that ongoing current plugged in, it's going to phase out. The battery will go down. Reading again from 1 Peter chapter 2, but backing up to that last phrase in chapter 1. Now, this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, pockets of envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure or sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Indeed, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are being built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. Let me pray. Father, we are thankful that the Son was and is precious to you. And to those of us who have had that change when Jesus came into our lives, he is precious. And may the Spirit of God so lift him up today that we will all bow before him in devotion and love and worship. In commitment, surrender. Because unto us who believe, he's precious. Lord, the world is full of people out there who are strangers. They don't know about him. Don't know who he is. And may we go and tell. And let them know that he is precious. And they're precious to him. He died for us. Speak, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. We talked about this word precious yesterday, how it is something that's very costly, something that's held in high esteem, that which is dear. We found out that God the Son is very precious to God the Father. We talked about his name, but you know, you can't divorce his name from his work. It's interesting when a group of ladies meet for the first time, they'll talk about their husbands, they'll talk about the children, they'll talk about the families, but men folks seem to say, what kind of work do you do? What's your vocation? What are you involved in? Well, when we come to the Lord Jesus, the name of the Lord is precious, a name above every name. But we need to think for just a few moments today about the work he came to accomplish and how that makes him even more precious to those of us who believe. I've heard of the ministry of the angels, how they came to Mary, to Joseph, to those shepherds. They were startled, they were amazed, they were frightened, even as you and I would be. I was thinking as I was preparing for this privilege, I wonder what happened to Davy. Let me have a little imagination here. I wonder what happened in heaven the day the word got out that God the Son was coming down here. Back in World War II, and I don't know, thank God I haven't been in the Navy in a long time, but the word settled but had a better meaning back in those days. It was a name that was used to identify the water fountain. But also, the rumors that went out from the water fountain was called scuttlebutt as well. If you pick up just about any kind of rumor, a scuttlebutt, or a rumor called scuttlebutt there that you wanted to. I wonder if there was some scuttlebutt running through heaven. When one of the angels said to the other, you know what I just heard? Second person of the Godhead is going down to earth. Nothing to that. That's what we're saying today. You don't believe that. That's just another rumor. No scuttlebutt. No, I got it from a pretty reliable source. No. I've been here since, you know. He's always been here. No way he's going to leave and go down there. Well, I got it from pretty reliable sources. Well, it'd be one thing for him to leave heaven. Could be a cleavage between God the Son and God the Father. If you go down there, You know what I've heard about that place? Man, that's a wicked, wild place.
But we know that he did come, don't we? So he was rich. For our sake, he became poor. He came down here that we might become rich. Let's step into that carpenter shop around that rusty Nazareth Road. Here we find a 12-year-old boy learning the carpenter business. And Joseph is teaching him. He's learning to make a wagon wheel. Yoke for some ox. The same hand that formed this land. The same hand that put the moon and the sun in the orbit and plugged in, if you will, every star. Those hands are now involved in woodwork. He became a teacher, and they said of him, every man spoke like this man. He became a healer, a miracle worker. One said, well, I don't know who he is, but one thing I know, I was blind and now I see. He was a disciple. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily. Follow me. These are some of the things that we realize, and as we grasp them, he should become more precious because of not only who he was, but what he did. Let's go to that last week, if you will. We don't have much time. It's a triumphal entry. And here is the King of all kings, the King of eternity, riding on the back of a, not just a donkey, but a donkey. Can you imagine the people for George Bush coming into Augusta, going over to Hertz or Avis or Swifty and say, we'd like to get a Lincoln or a Cadillac for the president? Oh, I don't have those Southeastern Workers' Conference rented all of them. We have a nice little geo. I don't even have to buy it. The King's King. And the bar donkey. They went up to that Passover in the First Lord's Supper. The bar grew. Well, he was rich. Fast as he became poor. Let's go into the Garden of Gethsemane. The agony. I'm sure all of you Bible students and Bible scholars know that the only one who told us that he sweated it where great drops of blood falling to the ground was the doctor who wrote, Dr. Luke. Matthew, Mark, and John doesn't mention that. But I've often thought that those men sat there near him, especially those three, he kept having to come over and wake them up. They slept through a once in eternity opportunity. We often talk about things that happen once in a lifetime. Once in eternity, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his fire, swept it with a great drop of blood. And they missed it. They slept. Once in a lifetime, once in eternity. There was a mock trial, we don't have time to mention that. There was a walk down through the Via Dolorosa, the Way of Sorrows. Then they got to Golgotha. Calvary. Beloved, we often sing at the Lord's table, as I'm sure you do. Draw near. Jesus saved you that. On the cross. And by faith this morning, could you and I just move in a little closer? That place where he willingly took my sin and yours and died on the cross. And I was thinking there was a Susan Watley crowd, a smattering of society, a smorgasbord of religious leaders and the non-religious there at the foot of the cross. And if we had the opportunity to, in some way, ask those people what that man on the Son of Cross meant to them. If you were really precious to them, I wonder what the answers would be. As we walked through the crowd, we might see Mary Magdalene standing there with tears running down her face. Perhaps she was sobbing. Out loud. So, ma'am, I take it you know I'm a courtier. I don't even want to tell you what kind of woman I was before every thing Jesus did in my heart. Is he precious to you? Indeed he is. We walk over to the Son of Cross, and there to his right is that lieutenant thief. He died. He doesn't have much of life left. So what's your reaction to this man? Oh, he said, I'll tell you, one time he promised me I'm going to be with him today in paradise. Is he precious to you? You better believe he is. I don't have any more opportunity after this. You know what the centurion said, surely this was a righteous man. Then I forced the step, if you will, over to his mother, Mary. You can only imagine a broken heart, that dear lady. Pardon me if I seem a little reverent, but I don't intend to be. Ma'am, what's your thinking concerning him? She said, that's my boy. That's my son. I don't know this world. But I want to tell you something. He's more than my son. He's also my Savior. My soul doth rejoice in God my Savior. I don't know about Barabbas. We do a prison ministry, and I'm in the prison quite often, and sometimes trotting into the mind of these fellows, but they say a criminal often returns to the place of the crime. Could Barabbas have been curious enough to say, I want to see that guy who's taking my place? He might have made tracks before they changed their mind and arrested him again. But had he gone there and viewed that man on the center cross, who literally and actually was dying as he was scheduled to die, I wonder what his reaction would be. We know that Peter said he saw the use of the days he is.
Yes, sir.
Beloved, when Jesus died on the cross, amongst all those at the foot of the cross, you and I were represented. There were those who were like us. But you know, I was thinking that also there were representatives for John Denholm, Walking Detweiler, Harold McKay, and others. Just like us. And those men used to be right here with us. I used to thrill to sit at the feet of those men and go open the Word of God and lifted up the Lord Jesus. Last night, Brother Jade told us a very fascinating thing of how the Japanese fellow right here in this country talked to his friend in Japan and then transmitted a picture. I'm low tech. I can't grasp that. But if that could happen and this can't, what would it be like if we could email Harold McKay or work with that law? Or any of the others you might have come to your mind. Or dial them up. The brother who used to come to these Southeastern Workers Conference, we know the Lord Jesus was precious. We've heard you speak well. We've heard you exalt him. We've seen you lift him up because he was precious and we were taken to make him precious to us. Tell us, brother, is he precious today? You've been up there all these years. Anything you want to add? And I believe they would possibly say, well, as was said in the scripture, the half has not yet been taught. Brethren, sisters, we have a lot to do when we go back and may not have much time before he returns. Let's make sure we maintain that intimacy with him. Stay close. Maintain the fact that he is precious. In closing, I want to again read a little poem. If you here remember a brother who was with us in Nashville for many, many years, Brother Bob Kennedy. This is one of Bob's favorite little poems. Sometimes we heard it so much we felt tired of it. And yet the truth is never, we never got tired of that. And Bob would often quote this, oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be. When I finally said to Jesus, all is fair. None, see. Yet he found me. I beheld him, bleeding on the accursed tree, and I whispered heart so faintly, yes, some of thee. Day by day his tender mercies, healing, helpful, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, bless yourself, more of thee. Higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love, at last the conquered. None of them. All of them. May the Lord Jesus become more precious, not just today as we're here, but every day till we see him face to face. brethren and sisters, unto us who believe, he is precious.